quick by way of review, and we're going to cover a few things this morning and then be done. Okay, although I do know it is only 10:35. That's what the clock says. 10:35. So I've got at least an hour and 25 minutes for preaching time. So I don't know what's wrong with the clock back there, but that is not right. So we're just a reminder again of how we've been doing things and drilling this into our brains. God has a mission. God's mission. He has a kingdom. He is the king. He is a ruler of everything. And his desire is to restore mankind to the proper relationship with him. Okay, that is what his goal is. That is why he has done everything he has done in this creation. Was because he knew that we as humans would blow it, we'd fall in sin, and his desire was to get us back in the place where we could be a part of his kingdom for eternity. Amen? The missions that we are involved with is us fulfilling the mission of God in this world. Every one of us have an opportunity to be a part of that restoring people into God's family. We go out into the world, we witness, we lead people to Christ, we baptize, we teach, we get them as a part of a church, okay? That is what we do, that is our passion, okay? And that's going to come up a little bit later on, so keep that in mind. We know our mission field, okay, is not a specific country or a place. The field that God has put us in is the people that he has put us around that need to be involved in our lives and be restored, okay? Doesn't matter where you are in your mission field. Okay, now we take up special times for those who decide to leave everything in their life behind and relocate to somewhere else. But you know, if you spend any time talking to missionaries, oftentimes it's not that big of a deal. Because if God has made that their home, then they live there just like you and I live where we live. Yes, the initial activity of moving someplace else is a big deal, but once God has you where you belong, it's just like everyone else. We need to be amongst the people that we are amongst and doing the job that God's asked us to do. That's restoring people to that image, all right? We talked about who is called to be a missionary. All right, all of us. That special calling, in the middle of the night, the moonlight comes through the Venetian blinds and hits the paper right where you think. No, it's an invitation, and the invitation is out to everyone, every single person. Okay, first of all, the invitation goes out to those, hey, become a part of God's kingdom, get restored. Once you're restored, he says, good, now go out and help other people get restored into that image of God. That's what it is. That's the call. Everyone, okay? We talked about that verse, that to them that are, all things work together for good to them that are the called. Well, we love to claim that verse, but that verse means we need to be out there doing our job. Then we talked about leaving a legacy, all right? Following others that walk before us, but not only that, having others follow us as we walk in our Christian life. Okay, and we're good at picking folks that go ahead of us. Doc, I don't know if you're in here when Matt was bragging on you for a minute. All right, good. Okay, yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was. We all appreciate folks that who have gone before us who we can set as an example and try to live our lives the way they would do it too. Yes, we want to live like Christ, but God has left us other Christian family members that we can say, you know what? I remember how brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so used to do it, and it's always worked good for them. It was a great example. Okay, and so we want to leave a legacy. And then we talked about this is all based upon, and God put this system together very carefully, that the way human beings procreate, God designed for a purpose, because this whole universe, the heavens declare the glory of God. So many of these things. Guys, how many times did God use ants and birds and trees and all those things to say, hey, this is how I designed the system? Everything that he has created, he's used to point us back to him. Well, he created the family very specifically, that family relationship that we have, mother, father, son, and daughter, to picture the relationship that we ought to have with him and with one another. Okay, very specifically, he's done that, okay? His plan on spiritual growth is based on the family. He created the family structure to model the relationship with him and other believers. Okay, this is all review. Okay, you should all be able to quote those things from heart. So next week we'll have a test. No, I'll just... Okay, so today I wanted to talk about having a healthy relationship with God. In our world today, we have so much focus on unhealthy relationships. Okay, more than ever before. Back in the old days, and I've spoken to some of you about this, when y'all grew up, I can say I'm a little younger than some of you. Okay, just a little. The things were different. That things happened in homes that sometimes people didn't even talk about, did they? That if there were relationship difficulties, they just got swept under the carpet. To the point where some very terrible things would go on, but they wouldn't be spoken of. Because the family and the family relationship was more important. Well, now just the opposite has happened. And we've gotten to the point where we've become so honed in on any little problem, any little quirk, any little nuance of a problem in a relationship, and it gets blown out of proportion, and people are on Jerry Springer or something else talking about how awful their life is and how terrible it is with this person. Where, guys, some of the things is just going to be life. Okay, you all know if you're married any time soon, you are going to have those times where tough discussions need to happen. Hard choices need to be made, and some digging in your heels and getting serious about life. That doesn't necessarily mean you need to go on a talk show or you need to go to a counselor because everything in your life is terrible. But we've gotten to the point where things are that way. Okay, where we've gone through not dealing with the issues to over-dealing with the issues. Guys, no matter what happens, we are designed to have a healthy relationship with God. When God started this whole thing out, he created the first relationship. Now, oftentimes, and I don't have a problem with it because I'll define it a little bit with a little bit sharper point here in a second. We'll jump to, yes, the first relationship that God designed was the husband and wife relationship because there was Adam and Eve. But that is not the first relationship that God designed. That is the first human relationship that God designed. The first relationship that God designed was father and son. Adam was created as the son of God. As a matter of fact, there's quite a bit of instruction that goes on given to Adam before Eve is even created. There are five real specific things that God gives to Adam and says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep the garden. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. God sets all this stuff up because he and Adam have a relationship. And then God steps back and says, you know what? It's not good that man should be alone. I'm going to make a helpmeet for him. The first relationship that God designed was father and son. I am your God, your father. You are my son, my child, my creation. That's the first relationship. So God has already designed us to have a good, healthy relationship. Now, what the devil has done very successfully down through the centuries is wrecked the father and son relationship. As a matter of fact, how many statistics do we see about the failure of the nuclear family? And how there are families now with where mom's taking care of all the kids and there's no father in there anymore. And boy, we could spend forever. We could talk about The Cosby Show and Archie Bunker and all these things where they make the father look like an idiot. And the fathers, it's been an attack purposefully, because if the father-son relationship between God and his children are pictured between a father and his earthly children, well then how great is the devil and his strategy to say, I'll just destroy the father and his children relationship, and then God, people will not know how to relate to their God. This has been something that he's been doing for years. We need to work on healthy relationships. You with me so far? How much counseling? How many books? How many seminars? How many TV programs are there about how to have a healthy relationship with your spouse and have a healthy relationship with your children? And do we consider what a healthy relationship with our God is? All these self-helps. Well, how about helping me out with God? Well, part of this is what we're seeing here. The first step, and guys, I'm looking across here and I recognize quite a few of us, but the first part is you got to be a son of God. You got to be one of God's kids. You can't have a father-son relationship with somebody who's not your father. And this verse is one of the first times in the New Testament. Adam was called the son of God. Once Adam fell, there's not one person in the Old Testament that is referred to as a son of God. Okay? There are some angels that are called the sons of God, but now no humans are called sons of God until we get to John chapter 1, where it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory." And this verse comes in. "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Remember God's mission? To restore lost man into the image of God. Until Jesus Christ came, guys, that was impossible. But once the Lord Jesus Christ came, you and I can accept his forgiveness and his payment for our sins and be redeemed back into God's family. We are now, again, sons and daughters of God. So I'm asking this morning, again, I recognize most of you, but are you a son of God? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith and trust in him? Because if you haven't, that's the first step. You got to be one of God's kids before you can have a relationship with him. Listen, there's a lot of kids in this neighborhood. Not one of them are mine. Okay? All three of mine are not in the neighborhood anymore. I mean, they're here, but, you know, they're grown up. Just because there's a child around me doesn't mean it's my child. Remember what Jesus said? He was talking to them and looked at those Pharisees and says, "You guys are of your father, the devil." Don't buy into this thing in this world that says, oh, we're all the children of God. That's a lie from the pits of hell. "As many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Not every person on this earth. You've got to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior to become a son of God. That's where the relationship is restored. But next, he gives us a very clear idea on what we ought to be doing. "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit," which are God's. Go back and get the Sunday school tape from this morning. We'll talk about how God created us to glorify him. But you know what? If you are now the son of God, you don't even belong to you. You ever say that to your kids? Listen, you know, the old Cosby quote. "Boy, I brought you into this world. I'll take you out. And I'll make another one just like you." You ever put your flex your parental muscles? "As long as you live under this roof, you live by my rules." Well, God says, wait a second, you're bought with a price. You're not your own. You don't belong to you anymore. You're mine. So glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. There's a proper way to have a good, healthy relationship with God. So, next slide. How do I move forward as God's child? Now, this is interesting. I want you guys to read these with me. Number one, do you know the answer to some of these? Number two, what if somebody else asks you this? Do you know the answer? Let's read through this again, because this is very important. We're in a family relationship, right? If my son comes up to me and says, "Dad, how do you change a tire on the car?" Well, come on, let me show you. Or, "Nobody ever taught me how. Let's go find out." Just read a couple of these. How do God and I communicate? Prayer, that's us communicating with God. How does God communicate with you and me? Reading his what Bible, right? Do you know how to share that with somebody else? What if somebody comes up to you and says, "I don't know how to talk to God, and how does he talk to me?" Do you know how to sit down and show somebody how to do that? Next one. What is God's will for my life? Ooh, that's a big one. Or if I just, you know, that there are seven specific wills that God says, this is the will of God concerning your life? There's seven of them in the Bible. You know what they are? Okay, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. He also says, obey them that have the rule over you, that he's put in authority, thus fulfilling the will of God. There are seven specific things that he told us that this is the will of God. What about other wills? Okay, how about the next one? God, has God left me anything to help me here while I'm living on this earth? Well, I know three things that he's left me to help me on a daily walk with God. Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and where we are right now, local church. Okay? Do I need the church and other believers? Absolutely. Why? You don't have to tell me now, but I'm just saying, these are all good questions, right? If you're a new believer, if you've just asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, these are things you don't have a clue. These are things that ought to be answered, and we're going to talk about who ought to answer them. Okay? Can I have victory over sin? Thank you, Diane. Do you realize that so many Christians, because we struggle with sin every day, we get so depressed and so bummed out because of it that we forget we can have victory over sin? We are not guaranteed to sin. Now, we will, but that doesn't mean you throw up your hands and say, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. You and I can have victory over sin. Whew. How do you do that? Good question. Okay. How do I learn my Bible? Yea, young children despise me. I arose and they spake against me. I mean, is that how we handle the Bible? Just open up to a random spot and start reading it? There's a system. There's a good way to learn how to use your Bible, isn't there? Did anybody ever teach you that? Did you ever have you ever taught anybody that yourself? This is the kind of thing we're talking about. How do I tell others about Jesus? That's a good one. Yep, in his power. Is there ideas? Did Jesus leave an example? Did Paul leave an example? Did Philip leave an example on how we can go have a conversation about the Lord Jesus Christ with someone? Or we just cold turkey walk up and go, hi, you know me because I work over there. Can I talk to you about? God's given us some pointers. Do you know them? Have you taught them to somebody else? Okay, these are great ideas. How do I deal with difficult people in my life? Oh, yeah. What if it's a Christian? What if it's not a Christian? How do I deal with those folks? Now, listen, guys. When a person first receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and first becomes the Son of God, half of these questions probably aren't even in their mind. But then as they begin to grow and as they begin to sit under a teaching of God's Word and as they watch us, they begin to go, wonder how you do this prayer thing. How do I learn my Bible? Just start in Genesis. Listen, if you tell somebody to start reading in Genesis and work their way through the Bible, they're going to make it to Deuteronomy and they're going to want to cry. Okay? Genesis, Exodus, pretty good. Leviticus, oh my goodness, I don't get it. Deuteronomy, forget it. I'm done. Okay? John, 1 John, great ideas. All right? The idea here that we're talking about is God has given us the means to have a healthy relationship with him. But it doesn't happen naturally. Just like when you have a baby you bring home from the hospital, you can't just plop it in the crib and hope things happen the right way. Right? Yo, I've used that before too. You look somebody in the eye and says, I'm gonna pray for you. So there was a Everybody Loves Raymond episode. And the one father says to the other one, I'll pray for you. And he goes, oh no, buddy, I'm praying for you. You know, like It's a weapon. Oh, you ain't praying for me. I'm going to pray for you. How do we deal with each other? That's a good question. Listen, there's a way that God's designed for us to have a healthy relationship with him. Number one, healthy relationship is founded in the Word of God. Okay? We can make it up as we go along. There are, we were having a conversation, we went and saw Russ and Alice the other night, and they're in a church where the people, their family, apparently they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been introduced to the idea of salvation, but they don't even know how to flip through a Bible to find the different books because they just don't use the Word of God. They have leaders and pastors and people who stand up in front of them and share knowledge, but they don't even know where to find it. It's not from the book. And guys, we need to be careful. You know, you can look up spiritual thoughts and teachings on the internet and find more than you would ever be able to read in your lifetime. But you know how much of it has no basis and no reference back to God's word? I appreciate the fact that our church is careful about this. That we don't come up here and talk about things that are just subjects that are on our hearts. But we are careful to take it from the scriptures very carefully. There's a lot of churches out there who want to deal with social issues, want to deal with news and things that are going on, and give opinions, and maybe some moral advice. But if you and I can't find it concretely in this book, we got a problem. Everything we need to function in this life is found right here. If we're going to have a healthy relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's got to be found in the book. I laugh, you know, how many parents come home from the hospital with their first child. And there's actually a commercial on TV about this where the, you know, mom has the first baby and she's got the stroller, and she's got like 900 things hanging from it. Okay, she's got the diaper bag and a couple of different toys, and she's got the, you know, everything on the planet jammed on that thing because they're going to go out for a walk. Okay, second child, she's got one kid on one of those springy little leash things, and she grabs like a cracker and says, "Let's go!" You know, out the door with almost nothing, because some folks are into the book learning. You ever see one of these book parents? Come on. We had people in my family that, you know, what to expect when you're expecting, and expecting what to expect, and how to expect what you think you're going to expect. And there's, you know, 18 different books piled on their, you know, coffee table because they've read everything there is to know about having a baby. And, you know, that helps, right? All the answers you can find are is what's expecting. Okay? Sometimes the phone still rings. "Mom, what do I do?" Because it's not in the book. Well, we don't have to worry about that. Thank the Lord it is in this book. Okay? But I want us to understand this. Healthy relationship with God. All scripture, we know this verse, guys. How many scriptures? All scriptures given by inspiration of God. And is profitable. That's the hard one. Okay, I believe all of it's good. How often do you read all of it? Whew. We love John and 1 John and sometimes the Gospels and some other stuff. You in the Old Testament sometimes reading it? Because all of it is profitable. If you're skipping some, then you're not getting all of it, are you? Next, it says profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Guys, just as a commercial, you want to come see me later on. That is the key to disciplining children, what you just read there. There's a four-step guidance. Doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. You want to discipline children correctly, follow that pattern right there. It's amazing. I'm not going to go through the time of it right now. That the man of God might be perfect, okay, completed, matured. Now, please don't miss this. Throughly furnished unto all good works. Some of the scriptures will try to tell you that word is thoroughly. It is not thoroughly, it's throughly. Okay? You ever been asked if you've done a thorough job on something? How about if you go through it? Did you go through everything? That's a different thought, isn't it? Oh, yeah, I did it. Did you go through everything? All right, I'll go back. You understand something? God says that you and I are furnished throughly, everything. You got a part of your life that isn't throughly furnished yet? You got a closet full of what the world uses, that weird little phrase that they use, skeletons in your closet. You got one little part of your life now that God hasn't gotten control over yet. God wants to make you throughly furnished. I remember several times I've had the privilege, I'll say it that way, of cleaning out a home that someone either has passed or is no longer able to live in that home before. And some of them have been a pleasant job. Others had so much stuff that you just wanted to light a match. And as you're cleaning the thing out, and we said this before, but you finally get to the end of the room and that room is empty and you can, we got it. We finally finished this room. And somebody goes, well, we never have looked in that closet over there. And you open the closet door and the stuff almost falls out on top of you. And you go, a whole nother area we got to work on here. You know, God wants that from our lives. He wants to throughly furnish us from one side to the other, down, top, frontwards, backwards. Look at the next verse, John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You want to be quickened? You want to be alive? You've got to be listening to the words of God. Without it, you and I are hopeless. Interesting thought about functioning in this place, this universe. How did this universe come into existence? How did God do it? Did he get out a hammer and a screwdriver? No, his word. Okay, his word is what brought life to this whole universe. His word is what has put every piece. How does he just sustain this whole universe? By the power of his word. Then how do you and I function best in this universe that is based and founded and structured and continuing upon his word? By his word. You want to fit into this place that is completely hinged upon the word of God, then don't you think the word of God would be the thing you should go to? I was trying to figure out this last week, somebody, a friend of ours from Cheshireman, asked me about her kitchen stove. She's got one of these double stoves stacked in and she couldn't get it out. They needed to repair it. And I'm looking at this thing, trying to figure out, scratching my head. And she said, let me get the installation instructions. I said, okay. She hands them to me. And I know what happens around my house. I have a drawer. In that drawer has every booklet of every installation of instructions on the planet. I probably have the instructions from about 12 different weed whackers in there. You know what I'm talking about. You got that look, right? And so now, not only are you looking for the instructions, you need to make sure you have the correct instructions. Because you're looking going, this doesn't even have a screw there. That's because you're not looking at the right instructions. Yeah, clean out the drawer. If I don't have the weed whacker anymore, I shouldn't have the instruction manual for it anymore. But you know how that works. If I'm looking at the wrong instruction manual, then how are things supposed to work? Guys, this whole life of ours, everything, what's around us, the future, the past, all hinges upon the truth of God's word. Why wouldn't we want to be delving ourselves into that so we would understand best what God has for us? Look to the proper instruction manual. Well, I bought this new self-help book from Christian writer so-and-so. Hallelujah for that. This is the proper instruction manual. They may make commentary on this, You know, and I've said this before, if I'm going to spend time reading, guys, and I love you that read, I'm not the best reader in the world. Some of you love it. My wife can pick up a 400-page book and read it in a night. Makes me want to, I can't do that. But you know what? If I'm going to be reading, I'm going to spend 90% of my time reading this and about 10% of the time reading other things. Even if it's a good Christian book. If it's a Christian book written about this, why wouldn't I go to the master sheet here? Okay? Just please remember, it's the Word of God. That is what's going to give us. If we're going to have a healthy relationship with God, we got to be in His Word. Okay? Number two. I don't know. They're not even numbered. God uses other believers to help us understand the Bible. God uses other believers to help us understand the Bible. God uses other believers to help us understand the Bible. God never designed you and I to be on an island to ourselves with a book. Just like He never designed a baby to come home from the hospital and me handed a pile of encyclopedias and say, go at it. He puts us in a family on purpose. Here with the Ethiopian eunuch is an amazing, enlightening thought. Philip ran thither to meet him, heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understand what thou readest? And the eunuch answered him and said this. And he said, how can I except a man, some man should guide me? He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The Ethiopian eunuch, who was a believer, he understood who God was. Okay, and we know that because a couple verses later he says, "Why? How come I can't get baptized?" And he says, all you got to do is believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We knew it. He's a believer. The issue was he needed some other believer to sit down with the Word of God and share it with him. Next slide. Romans. How can they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And we're not talking about an ordained minister paid by a local church. We're talking about someone who's going to open the Word of God and share it with them. A proper, healthy relationship with God comes when the Word of God is opened by other believers to teach. Yes, you with me? You got to be, because this is sometimes lost in our world. We think, if I have the Bible, all I got to do is, oh, good. You ask Jesus into your heart, that's great. Here's the Gospel of John. Go home and read it. And we never see them again. And we wonder, I wonder how Brother So-and-so is doing. Well, he's probably not doing, unless God stepped in a special way. Because God makes it very clear that if somebody is going to understand the Word of God, it's generally because somebody else has sat down and shared it with them. Are you sharing it with them? Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know how you hear the Word of God? When somebody else is talking the Word of God. Okay, I don't open it up and it starts, if you open your Bible and you start hearing things, call me, I have some guys with a special jacket to come and visit you. Well, Pastor, I got one of those programs that you open it up and you know, it'll read the Bible to you. Yes, somebody else's mouth is reading the book to you. If you're going to hear it, that means somebody is speaking it. Next slide. A healthy relationship means being a disciple. This is where we're coming from. This is the focus, guys. We have to understand this. The Word of God's success in our lives is based upon others sharing it with each other. We have to be a disciple. We have to be ready to learn from somebody else, and then the goal of discipleship is to you start discipling somebody else. This is what a healthy relationship with God is. In your family, do you have... certainly, you don't have to name them off, we'll be here all morning. But do you have certain things that you do in your family because grandma and grandpa did them? you know, Christmas traditions or Easter traditions or something we do every year. We put this out or we do that or we sing this song or, you know, do you? Nobody does, huh? Somebody nod. Just, am I the only weirdo who did things like my parents do? Okay. They're passed on from generation to generation. Okay, ours, we put a pickle on the Christmas tree. You ever see a pickle on a Christmas tree? Okay, it's a German tradition. Was done way, way back when a pickle was hung on the Christmas tree. Okay? Because people get hungry. No. Because, and the person, the child who found the pickle, got a special Christmas present. Okay, now our pickle is made out of glass blown. It has a little hook, you know. It's a Christmas tradition passed on through generations. Okay? It's just one of those things. Now, do we actually look for the pickle and give a special present? No. My kids don't even care that there's a pickle there. But we got one of them little pickles. Okay? How many put an angel on the top of your Christmas tree? Okay? Or somebody don't do an angel, you put a star. Somebody can say, I hate lights on my Christmas tree. My mother-in-law, lights are great. Don't ever have them blink. There are no blinking lights on my Christmas tree. I'll go into a cardiac arrest or something. Okay? And we all do things. Listen, guys, you know what? God designed that for you and I in our spiritual family as well. You know, one of the great ways to learn how to pray? Be around somebody who knows how to pray. You want to know how a great way to learn how to witness and tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ? Hang around with somebody who knows how to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. You know how to be a good student of the Word of God? Sit down with somebody who knows how to study the Word of God, and they'll show you how. Do you see this pattern? Have a healthy relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Having a healthy relationship with God. I'm not going to jump my own thunder. Okay? Salvation is the transfer of spiritual life. Discipleship is the transfer of spiritual maturity. You get born again by salvation, but you grow spiritually by sitting around and being a apprentice to a mentor. Okay? We'll get there in a second. Romans. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. God wants you to be different. He wants you to learn and change. Next slide. Being confident. I love this verse. Boy, this is like right up there in the top three in my life for theme verses, right? Being confident of this very thing, that he that began a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Our God started the day I got saved. He began that work in me. And he wants it to continue every single day of my life. How about you? Isn't it nice to know that God designed you to every single day of your life? He wants to perform a good work in you. And he's going to do it until... You know how sad it is to me when I hear certain Christians who, if you ask them what they've done for the Lord in the last year, may not even be able to answer it? Well, what have you done for the Lord the last 10 years? Well, I come to church. Well, you know, I read my daily bread, you know, stuff like that. It's great. God began a work in you, and he wants to perform that work until Jesus comes or we go meet him. He that began a good work in you will perform it. Isn't that great? God's doing his part. We doing our part? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is that same old nasty creature he's always been. Nope, he's a new creature. Old things pass, all things become new. God wants to see us grow. Okay, so next slide says, a discipler is a follower or an apprentice. If you're going to be in a healthy relationship, how sad is it when we hear about, well, you know, he was married, had three kids, and then he just disappeared. But he doesn't see his kids anymore. They never see their dad. And we all hang our heads and say, that's just a shame. Because the relationship that God designed to be isn't being handled correctly, right? How often do we as believers not handle our relationship with each other correctly? We have a responsibility to each other, don't we? Okay, let's change that from a question. We do have a responsibility to each other. There's no question about it. Are we doing and keeping up our end of the responsibility? Listen, how many verses have we looked at in the past? But I just put them up there. God says, be ye followers of God as dear children. Jesus said in Luke, he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Next slide, 1 Peter, he says, for even hereunto are ye called. Who's called? Everybody. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that we should follow in his steps. We need to be followers, apprentices. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Next slide. So a healthy relationship with God means you grow. Now you see how this is building. I'm trying to make this, you know, something that is so easy for us to understand, so easy for us to ponder. God designed our relationship after the family relationship. He wants it to be a healthy relationship. He understands how much we need one another and the teaching that goes on between brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, and that there's a apprentice mentor thing to discipleship. And if we are going to be a disciple, we have got to be followers. And then as you get to the point where you're growing up, you should be having people follow you. Because it takes growth. 2 Peter, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. As newborn babes, next slide, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. John 15. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit. God wants us to grow up. Now, please, when I say the things that I'm saying, I'm not addressing it to anybody specific, even our church. But I do understand that there are many people who will call themselves Christians who ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior, and I want you to listen carefully, and have not grown at all. They're the same people they were 15 years ago, even though they've been going to church for 15 years. Now, you and I, who are interested in growing and want to be in God's ministry and in the Word, find that hard to believe. But folks, we are in a world now where Christianity is so messed up in its definition that people think as long as I get inside a church once a week and know how to, you know, say the word Christian, that makes me one. Guys, God wants you and I to grow. If I had a 26-year-old, a 25-year-old, and an 18-year-old at my lunch table this afternoon, all of them in high chairs with bibs, and I was spoon-feeding all of them, we would think there's a problem, wouldn't we? Well, guys, that happens spiritually. That sometimes there's church pews filled with Christians who have been spoon-fed for decades. Because we as Christians sometimes have lost the concept of what we are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to grow up. And then we're supposed to be able to share the word of God with somebody else. I can't wait for grandbabies. Those are the ones I'm going to spoon feed someday. Come here, Grandpa, I'll help you. Okay, blueberry buckle. Right? Isn't that the name of it? A little baby food, blueberry buckle. Oh, like a little blueberry cobbler. And I know what's going to happen. I can tell you right now. One scoop for Grandpa, one scoop for you. Two scoops for Grandpa, two scoops for you. Okay.
I used to do that
for my son. Amen. So, God wants you and I to succeed. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, that you may find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I want you to understand something here. Jesus says, listen, it's easy, it's restful, but there's still a yoke, isn't there? You all know what a yoke is. I mean, we were old enough, we talked about this before. We're not talking about what's in an egg. Okay, we are talking about two oxen next to each other, and they would, you know, or horses or whatever, or many of them. But you are strapped behind a load to pull. There are no spectators in Christianity. There are no spectators. He says, take my yoke upon you. Get in the game. Participate. Be a part of it. Jesus said, listen, if you do it, I'll carry the load, but you got to be in there with me. Why? Because he wants us to succeed. He doesn't want us to sit on the sidelines and go, oh, look at how things are going. It looks good. Jesus says, come in here. Work. I will help. I'll take the whole load. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. But you got to get in here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, I love this. This is what Paul says. God wants us. Listen, God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance with the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believeth, according to his working of the mighty power. God wants us to have all this. He wants, remember all those questions we asked in the beginning? God wants us to know the answers to them. And he wants us to be able to do it well. So, we're almost done. I don't even know what time it is. I've been preaching for 10 minutes. That's what it says. That's what the clock says. Man, I got a lot of time. Boy, hey, Jenny, I'm doing good today, Jenny. It's only been 10 minutes. I'm almost done. Okay. 5 minutes to 12? Man. Okay. Next slide. So who can disciple you? My discipler? Well, good. Well, who? A couple of verses just to look at this. Because now, if you say, well, I've already been discipled. I'm ready to disciple somebody else. Well, then maybe you need to ask yourself if you fit into this category. Okay? Number one, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There are certain who have title, have recognition, but not all. We know this. And 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now I could spend quite a while breaking this verse down. But Paul says, the things that thou hast heard, you're listening to things being said about me by who? Now this is interesting. This is Paul, Timothy, faithful men, and some other people. Paul doesn't say, listen, you remember those things I told you about me? I want you to commit that to faithful men. You see what it says here? The things that thou have heard about me among many witnesses. God says, you know what those folks that you respect are saying about my life? Those are the things I want you to commit to faithful men. There's a check and balance system here. It's an accountability. Next slide. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. This is Barnabas and Saul, Paul. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Why? Because they were teaching one another. Discipling. And that's where Christianity got its name. Because of those believers who were teaching each other the word of God. They were first called Christians. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me, Paul says, and be ye followers of me even as I am of Christ. Next set of verses, real quick. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God, and ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves with those who believe. Now, what's the question we're asking? Who should disciple me? Well, Paul says, listen, I'll do it. And then he says, you remember the things you heard about from many witnesses? And it says, you remember how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves? And the next verse says, brethren, be ye followers of me, and mark them which walk also as ye have us for an example. You got to pick people who have good testimony. So I got a question for you. Are you the kind of, let's word this the right way. If all the Christians in the world were just like you, how would we be doing? Right? Well, it's an interesting thought, right? Because Paul right here says, listen, I want you to mark them so to make sure that they fit, because you're looking at our lives as an example. So if you compare those guys to us, are they living the way they ought to be living? Well, are you and I that kind of person where you can say, listen, I'm doing a good job for Christ, and if a person isn't doing it like we are, then I wouldn't go near them. That's pretty bold of Paul, isn't it? That means you're pretty confident that you're working hard for the Lord. Now, I love what you guys said. If every Christian on the planet was just like me, how would we be doing? Well, that probably tells you that you and I could use a little work to get a little better, right? Because our goal, when I had children, I wanted to try to be the best father that I could be for those kids. I didn't say, you know what, whatever. I've seen some fathers do some things, but I'm not interested in that father thing. If they turn out all right, they do. If they're not, whatever. I'm just doing my own thing. No, I looked around to some of my friends and my father and some other parents and going, man, you see what they do with their kids? I'm doing that. That's awesome. That works. I was trying my best all the time to be a better father. Well, guys, if the Bible says we are supposed to look for disciples that when we compare them one to another, that they stand up to that comparison, that means you and I ought to be doing some things to make ourselves look a little better, right? I don't mean our image, but I mean we should be standing up and saying, I'll be an example of a Christian for you if you want. Listen, I'm not perfect, sure. I was never the perfect father. I knew I wouldn't be, but it didn't stop me from trying to be a better dad. Well, guys, how many of us, how many Christians, not necessarily in this church, but how many Christian believers don't even have the concept of, I'm going to try to be better because other people might be looking at my life as an example? What's in it for me? Oh, they got the great music that I love, and you know what, this, and what can I get out of it? When God says, wait a second, I want you to mark those people who are an example. And you know how you do that? Compare them to other people that you know in the faith that are good Christians. Guys, we got work to do. I like Uncle Joe. What about Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave, whatever. But Uncle Joe, I want to be like Uncle Joe. He and Dad are awesome. Guys, come on. God designed this system for a reason. Last slide, and we're done. Every young believer needs more mature believers as an example who can provide some accountability. Just like every child needs grown-ups in their lives to teach them how to be a grown-up. Not just the mom and dad, uncles, teachers, aunts, coaches, right? Every young Christian needs mature believers in their lives to show them the ropes. So I got a question. First of all, are you a young believer? Well, no, Pastor, I'm not. Then you ought to be a mature believer who's an example, shouldn't you? Come on. I love you, but we got to be on board with this. This will save the young believer from many years of trying to learn the Bible on their own. You know how many teenagers we love that struggle with this, where mom and dad will say, listen, been there, done that. Hey, Mom, you don't know what you're talking about. We know what we're doing. Don't talk to us. When we Mom and Dad may have been doing it for years, right? Grandma and Grandpa might be. Sometimes they got to find out on their own, but that's the hard way, isn't it? And we as parents sit back and say, why don't they just listen to us? We've done this a million times. And then about 10 years later, they come back and say, you know, Mom and Dad, you were right. Guys, it's the same thing in the Christian walk. We want to head off at the pass. If I'm walking with somebody, I want to say, watch out, there's a hole there. You know why I know there's a hole there? Not because I'm brilliant, but because I fell in that hole. Let me help you not fall in that hole. God uses healthy relationships with him to reproduce other healthy relationships with him. You want to learn how to be a great dad? Hang around a great dad. You want to learn how to be a good brother? Hang around a good brother. You want to learn how to study your Bible or read your Bible or pray or witness? Get with another believer who does it well and learn from them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray, honestly, in this world today where there are so many varieties that will call themselves Christian, who will say they have a faith in Jesus. Father, I don't want to cast anyone under the bus, but Lord, we need to live an example of what a Christian should be so that other people can model their lives after what they see in us. Not because we're amazing, not because we don't struggle with sin, but Father, because we have a healthy relationship with you. And so Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here at Bethel. Lord, none of us will stand up and say we got it together. But Lord, if we're growing, if we're learning, if we're trusting that you began a good work in us and you're going to perform it, that Lord, we're not spectators, but we have the yoke on us and we're out there pulling with you. And so Father, there's a world full of people and maybe they haven't met the Lord Jesus Christ yet and they need to have their relationship restored with him back into the image of God. They need their sins forgiven. And then, Lord, we have a brand new convert who's going to have a lot of questions that we can help answer. But maybe, Lord, it's just someone who's been a believer for a while, haven't grown, and their faith is stagnant, and they need to see another believer who they can say, you know what? I'll follow you because you're a good example. Father, help us to be that example. Thank you so much for your word and the things you teach us. Keep us growing until the day you get back. In Jesus' name, amen.